Narang Chagan Harottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jai Mudiri. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayesha badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhakti Mbhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance and classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed, almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 22nd day of April, 2013, in Alachua, Florida, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are in Canto 10, Chapter 16, entitled Krishna Chastises the Serpent Kaliya, and we are on text number 55. Patilabdhendriya prana Kaliya Shanakar Harim Kritratsamutra Sandina Krishnam Praha Kutanjali Patilabdhendriya Prana Kaliya Shanakar Harim Kritratsamuchvasandina Krishnam Praha Kutanjalihi Patilabdhendriya Prana Kaliya Shanakar Harim Kritratsamuchvasandina Krishnam Praha Kutanjalihi. Patilabdhendriya Prana Kaliya Shanakar Harim Kritratsamutra Sandina Krishnam Praha Kutanjalihi. Patilabdhendriya Prana Kaliya Shanakar Harim Vishatsamuchva Sandina One more man, please. Patilabdhendriya Prana Samutra Sandina Krishnam Braha Kutanjali. Ladies, Patilabdhendriya Prana Kaliya Shanakaya Harim Kritchat Samutra Sandina Krishnam Braha Kutanjali. Patilabdhendriya Prana Kaliya Shanakaya Harim Krishat Samutra Sandina Krishnam Praha Kritanjalihi Patilam Hindriya Prana Aliyakshanakai Harim Krishat Samutra Sandina Krishnam Praha Kritanjalihi Patilabdha Regaining Indriya, the function of his senses, pranaha, and his vital force, kaliyaha, kaliya, shanakai, gradually, harim, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, krichat, with difficulty. Samutrasan, breathing loudly. Dinaha, wretched. Krishnam, to Lord Krishna. Praha, spoke. Krita Anjalihi, in humble submission. Translation: Kaliya slowly regained his vital force and sensory functions. Then, breathing loudly and painfully, the poor serpent addressed Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in humble submission. I read the next verse. Kaliya huvacha vayam kala sohutpatya tamasa dirga manyavaha sobhavo dustyajo nata lokanam yadasadgrahaha. The serpent Kaliya said, "Our very birth as a snake has made us envious, ignorant, and constantly angry. O my Lord, it is so difficult for people to give up their conditioned nature by which they identify with that which is unreal." Purport: Srila Sanatana Goswami points out that because of his wretched condition, Kaliya was unable to compose original prayers to the Lord, and thus he paraphrased some of the prayers offered by his wives. The word asadgraha indicates that a conditioned soul seizes upon impermanent and impure things, such as his own body, the bodies of others, and other countless varieties of material sense objects. The ultimate result of such material attachment is frustration, disappointment, and anguish, a fact that has now become crystal clear to the poor serpent Kaliya. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So just what's happening here, just to review, is that Kaliya has been duly chastised by Krishna with his wonderful dance, and just at the point of him expiring, his wives came forward, the Nagapatnis, and surrendered fully to Krishna and offered these wonderful prayers, which are full of actually very conclusive philosophy, a lot of Siddhanta in these prayers. And by their efforts and their appeal to Krishna, Krishna is sparing Kaliya. But before that, Kaliya has a chance to offer some prayers. His wife's prayers were quite extensive. He only has four prayers here, four little prayers, and they're very small verses. And as explained in this purport, he's more or less just paraphrasing his wife's prayers. And I traced out the prayer that he's more or less paraphrasing, and that is in text 42 and 43, just reading the English. By your arrangement, these are the Nagapatni speaking to Krishna, the infinitesimal spirit soul falsely identify, these souls falsely identify with the three modes of material nature, and their perception of their own true self thus becomes clouded. So that's an expansion of this idea of asadgraha. And naturally, those who are shloka wallets, they think of the verse of Prahlad when he is first teaching to his father. He uses the same phrase, a sadgraha. So I thought we would read that verse in a portion of Srila Prabhupada's purport and then go on. So the context is his father wants to know what he's learned in school. And so as the teachers bring him forward, and he offers his obeisances to his father, and his father asks him, what's the best thing you've learned today? And he's expecting to hear him recount some of these Machiavellian instructions about how you make enemies and you kill your enemies and you bring your friends close and all this stuff. And Prahlad gives him this verse, which is a shocker, because where did he learn it? You know, this is pure bhakti instruction. So what he says, Prabhupada would often quote this verse, which means, O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen into a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest or vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this will be part of the purport here. And Prabhupada explains this word, sadgrahat. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually sat, eternal, and what is asat, or temporary. The Vedic injunction is asato ma jyotir gama. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Elsewhere it is said, apashyatam atma tattvam griheshu gahamedinam. Those who are attached to the bodily conception of life and who thus stick to life as a grahasta or householder on the platform of material sense enjoyment, cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul. Prahlad confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what his self-interest is and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed spiritual success. Everyone in the material world is in the bodily conception, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeated birth and death, one should go to the forest or vana, and it's understood that that forest is Vrindavan. He's recommending his father take full shelter of Krishna, which is not what he wanted to hear. So this idea, or this statement by Kaliya, as is echoed by Prahlad, is a central theme, really, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this is the analysis, this concept is part of the analysis of why we're conditioned in this world, why we suffer, and why it's so hard to wake up from this illusion and this dream. And the word asadgraha means, basically, this word graha is similar to English, means grabbing on to the impermanent. What Prahlad is saying here is that people have become completely absorbed by their mind, by their senses, by their intelligence, in the impermanent things of this world, attempting to control and enjoy certain things and to avoid other things which cause pain. This is the material mind, sankalpa vikalpa. And by life after life, millions of lives of being in this illusory state, you develop, and this is interesting, an asad graha. You have asad graha becoming the asad graha. And a graha is something that grabs you. One of the meanings of graha is crocodile. A crocodile or an alligator that grabs onto you and doesn't let go. If you look up in the dictionary, which I did with a Sanskrit dictionary, that's one of the meanings. And way down, it says another meaning is morbid affection or a strong conviction. And this idea is used in Akrura, in his prayers. Akrura is famous for his prayers. And in his prayers, in the Yamuna, when he's taking Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura, he stops there, and there's this whole wonderful scene where Krishna and Balaram take a bath and then come back onto the chariot, and then Akura goes in and he sees Krishna and Balaram in the lake, in the river. He says, I thought they were back on the chariot. And he goes back to the chariot and looks at them and he's kind of amazed. And they say, did you see anything wonderful? And he said, once they've seen you, what more is there to see that's wonderful? And he goes back into the lake and there he sees Vishnu on the Sankarshan, right? And then he offers these prayers. So in these prayers, it's very wonderful what he says there. And he says, Bhagavan jiva loko yam mohitas tava mahaya aham mamet yasagraho brahmite karma vatmasu. It says, everyone in this world, in the material world, all Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of them are bewildered by your maya, by your illusory energy. Mohitas tava mahaya. And what happens with, what's the result of that illusion? Aham mameti. They develop this sense of false ego of I am the body, and things in relation to the body are mine. This is the essence of the false ego, false sense of self. And asagraha, they build up philosophies based upon this misconception. And with that philosophy, which in Sanskrit, so one of the words is drishya, a way of seeing the world and a way of seeing yourself. And by those philosophies, they brahmyate karma vadmasu, they continue wandering on the path of karma, life after life after life. And in the Madhyalila, chapter 9, text 1, it's nicely described there how, I'll read this verse because I, is it? I didn't say that. Okay. Anyway, it's described how Lord Chaitanya is on his southern tour of South India. And he's preaching. His main form of preaching is through Sankirtan. But it describes there how all these people they were natmamati graha, that they were captured by the crocodiles of false philosophies. What is it? Nanamatmagraha. So grahan, they were the Mayavad philosophy, the Buddhists, the Jains are mentioned in Prabhupada does in his translation there. So these philosophies that you build for yourself, everyone has a certain philosophy of life, or that you receive, andai atandai rupandiyamana, Prahlad talks about that later in his teachings to his father, is that with the blind leading the blind, with these false philosophies of life, and they hold on to you. We're actually captured by them, and we need to be delivered. And so what Kali is saying here, he's appealing to Krishna on the basis that, oh, you know, from my very birth, I've been, just being born in a snake, I've been envious. So it's not my fault, you know. It's just like, it's not my fault. I was abused as a child. Therefore, I became a thief and a murderer and a child abuser. I was abused as a child. It's not my fault. Yeah. But of course, everything is our fault. It's due to our original turning away from Krishna that we place ourselves at the under the control of the external energy, which then induces us to act on this material platform. The mind becomes filled with sankalpa vikalpa, these ideas of enjoying and avoiding suffering, and when the intelligence is engaged, we create a philosophy around that. Hedonism philosophy, atheistic philosophy, Mayavad philosophy, you know, various different philosophies that supposedly justifies what we want to do. So Lord Chaitanya, he delivered them all in the south. He decided he delivered them from this, just like Vishnu came and cut the mouth of the crocodile who had captured Gajendra. So Lord Chaitanya, through his weapons, you know, of the holy name, he was delivering everyone from these false philosophies, and they were becoming bhaktas, most dramatically, before he started the tour, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was deeply enmeshed in Mayavad philosophy, but he also became delivered. So here we need to be, as Prabhupada is explaining here, apashyatamatma kratatam griheshu grihamedinam, that we further and deepen our illusion and our attraction and our entrapment by the illusory energy by the sound vibration. What we hear, what we read, what we see, what we choose to hear and read, you know. And if it's materialistic, it continues that illusion. So the Bhagavatam is the means of deliverance. Another verse that I was thinking of, because it's describing how the living entity becomes illusion, is at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, you know, in the fifth chapter, it's described, Narada Muni gives his instructions to Vyasadeva about the writing the Bhagavatam. And two chapters later, Vyasadeva sits in meditation under the instruction of his spiritual master, Narada Muni, and meditates on Krishna. And that meditation, what he experienced in that meditation, is the seed, is the inspiration for writing the whole Bhagavatam. So what does he see? And these verses are very important. In his Tattva Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami has explained these verses extensively. You know, many anuchedas are dedicated to them. So he sits in meditation. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite yamale apashyat purusham bhunam maya mayam chat jittarapashriyam. So he sees Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is complete, the complete, completely perfect soul, like a supreme soul. And under his shelter, under control, he sees maya, is the external energy and also the internal energy. But here it's the external energy being referred to. And by that maya, yaya sammohito jiva atmanam chigunatmakam parotamanade nartam yatkritam chabipadyate. By that maya, the living entity is illusion, sammohita, completely bewildered about his identity. And he identifies with this material world composed of three modes of nature. That's exactly a sadgraha. That's a sadgraha. Let's explain it here. And by that misidentification, then you act on the basis of that, deepening the illusion, deepening the entanglement. And the whole samsriti is started, you see. Even though it's a complete illusion, it's just like a dream. Krishna explains 11th canto, chapter 22, and in other places too. So how can we get rid of these anarthas? We experience so many anarthas because of this misconception and acting on this basis. So what's the way out? We're just like drug addicts who are completely bewildered. If someone, we've all experienced, either ourselves or friends or acquaintances, if someone gets drunk, say, you know, they're not themselves. They speak nonsense. They may not, you know, they become angry. They're bewildered about reality. They don't see things clearly. So imagine that, you know, everybody is drunk. You live in a world of drunks. You're the only one sober. You know, it's like, it's a madhouse, right? Nobody knows what's what, you know? But unless there's somebody sober or somebody sane who can bring the others out of it, then it's just the madhouse. Everyone, you know, increasing everyone else's craziness. And that's the material world. So there needs to be an intervention by Krishna, either by himself or by his representative, in order to try to shake someone free of that and wake someone up. And that's what Krishna does. And that's who the acharyas are. That's who Srila Prabhupada is, and the great acharyas who are clear. Talk about clear, you know. In other words, clear of the anarthas. So how can those anarthas, lust, illusion, anger, all of these different things that are clouding our, and false ego, clouding our conception of self, what we should do, where our real source of happiness is, how can that be cleared away? Anartho pashamam sakshad bhakti yoga madhokshaje rokasya janado vidvan chakri sattva samhita. These anarthas can be wiped away by direct bhakti yoga to Krishna, the transcendental Lord at Hokshaja. But people don't know that. How can they know in their crazy condition? Therefore, the great sage Vyasadeva compiled this Bhagavad Purana. And simply by lending oral reception, what is that next verse? Yasyam vaishuyamanayam krishne paramapurushe bhaktirutpurdide pungsam shoka moha vayapaha. Just by hearing Bhagavatam with attention, with submission, devotional service, which is natural for the soul, springs up to Krishna, the Supreme Person. That very name Krishna is used. Krishna, Parama Purusha. And what's the preliminary result? Shoka, moha, vayapaha. All of this illusion and lamentation and fear is eliminated, just like a cloud, you know, being wiped away. People are spending billions and billions of dollars to try to alleviate the fear and the illusion and the anxiety, you know, pharmaceutically, you know, defending themselves with trillion dollar, you know, this trillion dollar so-called defense department. You know, it's all out of fear. Imagine if life could be fearless, be free of fear, you know, from self-realization and God-realization. So this Bhagavatam is actually the great boon, and repeatedly throughout the Bhagavatam, we hear these wonderful prayers of the Nagapatnis. Who would expect, you know, the wives of these Kaliyas, they're great sages, and they give these wonderful prayers, and Kaliya's now giving his little prayers, summarizing his wife's prayers. It's very, very wonderful insight by Vishnu Chakrabarti and our Acharyas. So this is where our intelligence should find its root. We need to absorb ourselves in Bhagavatam and then transform the false philosophy by which we've been living since time immemorial. I was just reading this one, I'm studying this one section of the 11th canto, the Uddhava Gita, where Uddhava asks Krishna, how does the living entity transmigrate from one body to another? How does he stay in this illusion? You know, I mean, this is a very basic question. And he gives this, he's wonderful, you know, there's about 10 or 12 verses there where he's describing how it works. And it's exactly on the same idea as we're studying here, as sadgraha, that the living entity, as because we're averse to Krishna, we come under the clutches of the external energy, where we can enact this charade of being the controller and the enjoyer. But the whole thing is just a big fantasy. We're just like living a virtual reality. I remember when that first, you know, those things came out. They actually have things where you put on the goggles and you're in a different world and you seem to have a different body, you know, and you can move like this and like that. And it's just like that, or the Matrix, you know. The whole thing is a construction by the great designer, you know, Krishna, the intelligent designer, you know, who the scientists think can't be out there. Of course he's there. And not only directly, but all of the subordinate designers, Brahma and his agents and all of them, created this incredible world that then can serve as our field, the Kshetra. Not only the body, but the extra world, you know, by which we can enact this attempt to be the masters and controllers and enjoyers of this world. And, you know, the way Krishna describes it in this 11th canto is that just as, because he's describing how the living entity is going through this each body, this situation. So he's saying just as in a dream, you don't remember the other dreams that you've had, right? You're in a new world. I mean, does anyone ever remember another dream that you had in a dream? No. So similarly, in this daydream, you know, this is another dream. It's a daydream and night dream, Prabhupada calls it, in the yoga system. We don't remember our previous bodies, which are just other dreams. But in those other dreams, we had so many concerns that were so important, you know. We may have had a family. We may have been, suppose we're in a human body, you know. We had very great concerns, supporting the family, making some money. You know, this disease comes, that disease. What about that war? What about the Mongolians coming over the hill? Oh, my God. You know, that's the most important thing. You know, where is it now? It's gone. Or some other, you know, form, all of those insect and animal bodies. You know, we have to be sober. This is what we've been through. They're all gone. By Krishna's grace, we've forgotten them. Muttak smriti again, apohanamsha. That's also Krishna's mercy, that we can forget those. How could we actually live with all of that remembrance? So, and we're creating those new illusions now. And it's just like he gives the example of a light. There's a light. Say there's a fire burning. So fire's burning, and you see the fire, and you see the light, and you experience the heat, you know. Say, oh, the light of the fire is very, very bright. It's illuminating the whole room. But what is that light? Actually, the light is being created moment by moment, right? I don't know exactly how it works. The little particles are being heated up, you know. But there's no light of the fire. The fire is a constantly changing thing. But we say this is the light of the fire. Or we say, we go to a river. Oh, just see the water, and just see the river water is a little cloudy. But where is that river water? It's moving. That water that you think is the river water is just going, 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 going. There's no actual river water. You can't You put your hand in there, and it's water that's never been in that river before. So in the same way, this body is changing at every moment. We're just like a vortex, bringing in different material elements, and they're all, you know, going out, breathing in and breathing out, ingesting and excreting and all this stuff, all right? So it's the living entity has this, and we're thinking, no, now I'm, this is who I really am, right? Now I'm an American, and I always want to be an American. I certainly don't want to be a Mozambican. There's some African, poor African country or something. You know. Those poor Mozambicans are over there, but we're Americans forever, eternally. No, it's not like that. It's like the young people, you know. It's great. It's great. Actually, great for Krishna consciousness to grow old, you know, because you can see your whole life behind you. You can see how, yeah, you know, when I was 15, I was like, that's me. I'm 15 now. I'll always be 50. Yeah, they say I'll get older, but I know that I'll actually always be 50. You act and you live on the basis that this is who you really are, isn't it? Gender, you know, gender identity. That's a big one. But let's face it. It's just a costume you're wearing for a while, and it's gone later. So all of that is part of this asadgraha and asadgraha and misidentification. And this verse, I'll share it with you again. I think I did last time. The verse that's repeated five times, it's in the Bhagavatam. It's in the section I've been studying, 10:22, starting in text 34. 11:22-34, well, Uddhava asked the question. And near the end of this whole explanation about this, that we create this dream world and identify with it, he says, Arte hivijamane pi sangsati nanavartate dhyayato vishayanasya svapne narta agamo yata. It's got to be an important verse. It's repeated five times. So what is he saying here? It kind of sums up the whole lesson. This sangsati, our experience of birth and death and heat and cold and dualities and pleasure and pain and growing old, all of this is actually not real, in truth. It doesn't have reality. Nasato vidyate bhavo. Krishna says, of the asat, there's no actual existence. We know that it certainly doesn't exist in the way we think it exists. Let's put it that way. It's Krishna's illusory entity, so in that sense it's real. But it's not what we think it is. So Krishna uses that word, arte avidyamane pi. Although that's true, sangsuti nanavartate, the difficulties of samsara, birth, do not cease for one who is always meditating on the objects of the senses with a mood of enjoyment. Dhyayado vishayan. Do those two words ring a bell? From the Gita, second chapter. From meditating on the objects of the senses, what happens? Attachment grows. And if you let that attachment go, it becomes kama, which is an obsession. I got to enjoy it, you know. And when that's frustrated, anger comes. And when you can't express your anger, depression comes. And from krodha, you become bewildered. And then krodha, smriti vibhraman, you lose your memory. That's also talked about by Krishna in the 11th canto, chapter 22. That when you forget who you are, we've forgotten who we are. And then from this loss of memory, buddhi nasho, your intelligence is destroyed and you're completely lost. So here Krishna is saying, he also quotes this verse in the Uddhava Gita, that if one allows himself to be absorbed in the object of the senses for enjoyment, then those miseries of samsara will not cease. Just as in a nightmare, as long as you don't wake up, you're suffering. And you can be breathing hard and sweating and even screaming. Yeah, so you're suffering, even though it's a nightmare, and it's a dream. So therefore, Krishna says at the end of his instructions to Uddhava, therefore, Uddhava, don't try to enjoy the objects of the senses, because you should see how it prevents self-realization. It's as simple as that. So the process of Krishna consciousness is a process of systematically drawing the mind away from the objects of the senses and placing it on Krishna. And because of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and his empowerment of the holy name, it's become very easy to do that. But it still requires effort. And when we have that wonderful process of chanting the holy name, individually and congregationally, which can draw the mind to Krishna, because Krishna has invested those names with all his energies, all his beauty, his fragrance, his lila. Everything is there in the holy name. But we haven't realized that. The mind is fighting that. You know, we're not actually allowing ourselves to become absorbed, really absorbed in the sound of the holy name with full attention and sincerity and because of offenses. So there's a whole process. That's the real sadhana. The sadhana is chanting and working on purifying the chanting. And everything else is a support of that. All these other, you know, the deities. I mean, when you see these beautiful deities, I'm always struck by the wonderful beauty of the deities and the care and the dressing and the archana going on here is just fabulous. And congratulations to all involved in supporting it and everything. It just draws the mind. There's Krishna, you know, seeing the fragrance of the flowers and the incense, you know, the sounds of the holy name and the songs describing Krishna. You know, this is to draw our mind. But still, because we're so habituated, we're, you know, forgetting that and letting the mind act according to its conditioning, the habituation. So it's a struggle. But the struggle is worth it. It's the only thing worth struggling for in this world. That's another illusion. People struggle so hard for material things, and it's just, you know, shama evihi kevalam, a lot of struggle for no result. So we're so fortunate to have the understanding, the philosophy as provided by these bona fide books Srila Prabhupada has provided for us, and genuine philosophy and practice and example. You know, what more could we have? We have everything given to us. So it's incumbent upon us to follow the process and become also agents of Krishna in this world to give others. That's part of what Krishna wants. Ultimately, you know, it's just what Krishna wants. That's what we should try to find out. What does he want? And then we should try to do it. And that will actually make us happy. That will actually make us happy in this world. This is the greater mind. You know, we've heard about the subconscious desires. Is what's his name? Charan, the writer. He's actually written many things, most articles and books. That article that Mukhi Mataji was reading. The mind is conditioned on many different levels, you know, and we have these habits. So we have to force it. We have to force the mind. You're like, okay, you know. Getting up early. It's not easy. You know, it means it's difficult. But it's worth it. There you are, you know, in Mangalartik. What a wonderful thing. The deity's open, the curtain's open, there's Krishna, you know, in the night clothes, you know, where it's not quite as elaborate, you know, very more intimate, you know, the beautiful prayer to the spiritual master. Try to understand the meaning of all of the words. It's a whole different experience, you know. Samsara dava nalali na loka tranaya. I explain when I, you know, teach some of the boys in San Diego. Feel the heat. Feel the heat of samsara dava nalal. You know, we're burning in this fire, forest fire, just like his friends. Suddenly the forest fire came up. What to do? Call out to Krishna in helplessness. You know, so the spiritual master representing Krishna, the cloud of mercy is raining down, saving. Oh. So the first mood, the whole thing is in the attitude, is gratefulness. And you have a chance to be completely in tune with the instructions that Srila Prabhupada gave. Yes, Mangalartik, very auspicious time of the day, you know, recognizing our debt to the spiritual master and his activities, what his qualities. How does he deliver? In that first verse, there's nothing about Krishna, nothing about bhakti. It just describes his deliverance. Oh, Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nriti. Described in the second verse. He's giving the kirtan process and showing himself to become ecstatic in kirtan. But in order to have kirtan, in order to the context, we need the deity worship. We need that for regulation and cleanliness in this age. Otherwise, we all scatter off into, you know, our own ideas. So deity worship is very important. So Shivigraha Adhana Nityanana, he's showing, you know, he's cleaning, keeping the mode of goodness. Everything's very important. And then the mercy in the form of prasadam. Which one of us wasn't attracted by prasadam? Practically, that's the main preaching. And then the internal, mood of the spiritual master, always wanting to relish the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. What is that? That's very worshipable, and how he's doing it. And then the tattva, Siddhanta, he's non-different from Krishna, as worshipable as Krishna. We should worship the same way. And then incredible instruction. Yasya prasadam, bhagavat prasadam. Yasya prasadam, nagati katopi. Please try to pronounce it that way when you sing it. Yasya prasadam, nagati. It shows that you know what the meaning is. By the mercy of the spiritual master, you get the mercy of Bhagavan. Yasya prasadam, bhagavat prasadam. That's the easy one. But the next one is yasya aprasadam. The word is aprasadam, means lack of mercy. So you combine the yasya and the aprasadam, what do you get? Yasya prasadam, nagati katopi. I sing it that way, Nagaraj. Just try to remember that. But by not getting the mercy of the spiritual master, there's no means of advancement. So how do we get to, follow the orders, follow the instruction. So that's all of that, so that we can get out of the grip of the crocodile of this material energy. That's been bewildering us since time immemorial. And it's the process is here. What was the other one I was going to share? There's someone requested. So, let's see, what time is it? Oh, it's a little late. So, I'll just share with you this one verse. Because the gifts, how to absorb the mind. If we get absorbed in something that we think is different from Krishna, that's the source of all of our problem. Everything turns upside down. As further Akura says, Anityanatma dukeshu vipariyamati yaham dhanvaramas tamo vishno. Najane Tvatmanak Priyam. He says, my dear Lord, he's taking the role of a conditioned soul. He says, I'm also this way. As he says, Bhagavan Jiva Logam, I'm also bewildered by material energy. So he's saying, because of that, that which is temporary, I'm taking to be eternal, my identity in this world. That which is not me, I'm taking to be me, my body. And that which are sources of misery, I'm taking to be sources of pleasure. You see, and in this bewilderment, dvandva ramo, I'm trying to enjoy the dualities of this world, and tamo vishto, entering further and further into darkness. And the worst tragedy of all, I completely forgot that you are my most beloved Lord and friend and master. So, what's the remedy is we have to throw ourselves at the feet of the spiritual master. This is what Akura says. He says, I know that I don't have the strength to control my mind. Not say I'm kripanadi, I'm wretched intelligence. Kama karma hatang mana, my mind is being drawn, infused with karma. I'm acting on the basis of karma. Karma karma hatang mana, rodham pramati bish chakshaya, my mad senses are drawing me all over the place. Now what? I may have some theoretical idea about all this philosophy, but I can't do anything about it. So he says, I'm throwing myself at your lotus feet for mercy. He says, I know that contaminated people like me can't get it, but by your mercy, you can bestow, you can deliver me. This is actually our role. This is what every time we wake up in the morning and chant Hare Krishna, it's just a prayer. The whole thing is a prayer. Everything that we do is a prayer. Somehow, if we can get the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, we can get rid of all these anarthas and become fixed in devotional service. So on the basis of that, I want to share with you one nice verse from Rupa Goswami, in which he's also giving us the means of deliverance. Mulokata vidhaya niba vatado krishnanya trishna kshayat kedad bhimani chakkabaka nachayaracham yamana mahu karnanam nikalasvana bahotame jivatati prangani gunat tungadasavali stavakata piyushakalorini. So it's a prayer. He said, words that tell of your glorious deeds are a river of nectar, O Lord of my heart. And from those who drink deep at that river, desires for other words quickly depart. Sages they are, chakravaka birds playing, those who drink at the river of talks about you. Uprooting the huge tree of death and rebirth, that river their faith ever freshens anew. Waves churn that river, exchanges of love, as you sport with your dear ones, your pure devotees. Bubbling and rippling and murmuring sweetly, that stream delights all with divine melodies. O Krishna, O fount of sweet nectarous pastimes, O you whose great deeds should be heard and then sung, may the river of poetry limning your glories flow into my heart and then over my tongue. Hare Krishna. And then he continued, then the next words in this series of verses, which is a summary of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, it starts flowing. Nihamahamandali Vajavatati Rochanam Vadanavidaman, and he goes on, describing Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. If you want it, write to me, I'll send it to you. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much for your attention. Brown?
This prayers of Kalila.
Yes.
Bhagavad Gita 1860s, the Svabhava Jena Kunti Anibuddha Sena Karmana Kartu Nechasi Jan Mahat Karishasi Avashopitat. Srila Prabhupada in the purport put that we are forced, Krishna is telling Arjuna that you are forced to fight. Whether you like or not, that's not a question. You will fight. Question is, you will fight for me or you will fight for some Maya.
Right.
So here, Kaliya is. It appears like he's taking advantage of, I could not do anything, sorry. I am being envy, hate, and angry. That's my nature because I'm a snake. Nothing is my. So only mercy will work. But then Mahaprabhu gives, it has to be both way, mercy and the endeavor.
Right.
So is Kaliya's prayer is pure or is it just a partial? Or I mean, it seems like he's taking advantage of... He doesn't have to do anything. Right?
Kaliya has already been delivered due to his wives. My impression is that it's because of his, that the wives were humble and surrendered, and Kaliya also at the end of this the dancing, it's something like he's making these offerings. He's vomiting out his impurities, and they're seen as offerings, right? Now Krishna's thinking, okay, these are your offerings. And he provided this wonderful dancing arena for Krishna. So he performed the service. He got the dust on his heads. So there, so the whole thing is I think a lesson that even the most envious and even the most contaminated, conditioned souls can be delivered if they get the mercy of Krishna, and if they're connected to devotees. This comes up in the pastime of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his son-in-law. He's a great offender, Amoga. He's offending Lord Chaitanya left and right, insulting him for eating too much, and Sarvabhauma has it all worked out. His wife made this wonderful feast, and Amoga comes in, what are you eating so much for? And Sarvabhauma chases after him. And his wife says, I wish my daughter become a widow. She was. So Amoga is out there. What has he got, leprosy or cholera or something? And, he's like. But because he's related, not even blood relation, but, related, Sarvabhauma, so Lord Chaitanya seeks him out and bestows his mercy on him and turns him into a great devotee, and cures the cholera. So here we have Kaliya, and he was, related to these great devotees, the Nagapatnis. So he's getting it in spite of his nature. So the thing is, I don't know what Kaliya used his envious nature for when he went back to the island. What's the name of the island? What is it? Ramanaka Island, which some say is Fiji.
But it seems like Prabhupada never agreed.
Drupas, yeah. So, but the point is that he's been reformed now. And even, it's an important lesson, really, because no matter how conditioned we are, we can become purified, because after all, it's not the soul that's conditioned. It's the soul is identifying with the body, which is conditioned. Just like, again, the drug addict, you become victimized by that, by your body, by your senses. The soul is being dragged around, So even in that, with enough empowerment by the Lord and the mercy, you can overcome even a body like a multi-headed, envious snake, So I think that this is the lesson. It's a little different with Arjuna, because Arjuna, he's got this role to fight, and Krishna's, he's giving this lesson. Okay, you can use this for me. In other words, this is your service, and I need that service. I don't need you to renounce. There's so many kings and everything who eventually do renounce their kingdom, right? And they give up that, and they undergo severe austerities to burn out that conditioning and just become mendicants, you know, in a forest. That happens many times in the Bhagavatam. So it's not a rigid formula whether Krishna will engage your propensities or not. You know, some he will engage, and others he will say, give it up. You know, I mean, we've all experienced that. You know, if you keep serving, then one of the things that you do, like when I was a kid, you know, I was a hotshot in eighth grade and in high school, big deal, you know. But I studied enough English. You know, I was also great in math. I haven't, you know, did any algebra in like 45 years. And I don't intend to, and I don't care to. But at one point, I was like a good part of who I was, you know, as a big math guy, you know. So, but at least Krishna had me study the English, and that really helped me. I've been doing that for 40 years, you know. This 12th grade English is all you need. So I think, you know, Krishna picks and chooses what propensity he wants to engage. There was one over here. Yes, Maharaj.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says to give up the shackles of Maya slowly. And Prabhupada talks about the spiritual bank account that we are accruing. And some of us that have been endeavoring to do devotional service for many, many years, I know for myself, sometimes I feel like I haven't made much advancement. Like I'm still totally identified with this body and I don't know who I am spiritually. Is it that we are just not in a position to see how much advancement we've made? Or is it that we're possibly doing something wrong? Or,
well, there's two sides to this. I think the thank you for the question. The idea is that, you know, in the Nectar Devotion it's mentioned, over-endeavor, you know? And probably give the example, okay, I'm going to be like Raghunath Das Goswami. I'm going to Vrindavan, and I'm only going to eat, a half a cup of buttermilk every third day and chant 64 rounds and offer 1,000 obeisances. Why not? There's the example, you know? But Prabhupada said, no, don't do that. You know, this is if you do that, then you'll fail. And we had examples of devotees who tried to do too much too fast. You know, it's a good sentiment that you want to advance, but you have to advance according to your, you know, don't run before you can walk. But at the same time, the other side is we have to see that we're still advancing. And sometimes there are like exponential things that happen. I remember in the early days when you used to join a temple, you know, and meant like giving everything up. Maybe you were, you know, from that era, you know. I got nothing. You know, I didn't even have any clothes of my own. It was whatever in the Brooklyn Temple. Remember, it was like a grab bag, right? It's like whatever dhoti could find. The merge, right? The merge. No towels left. All right, I'll use an old T-shirt. You know, like that. So, but okay, Hare Krishna. You know, you have all your money. You got allowance of, you know, toothpaste and whatever. That was it. That was what it meant. So, but then comes the long. You know, then what? Well, then you chant Hare Krishna, you keep going, and there's still all of this conditioning and desires, but you made a, you know, and Krishna actually gives you a lot of nectar, you know, when that happens, and suddenly you're dancing and chanting, it's a whole different world. But then, you know, there's the long haul of your whole lifetime. How are you going to keep advancing, you know, through marriage, or what ifs of that, or, you know, some trouble? You have to see that you're moving forward all the time. And seeing, all right, what are the hurdles that I can now, the challenges that I want to work on, because it's also easy to become complacent, you know. Neha bikramanashosti, all right, there's no loss or diminution. I did something this lifetime, you know, and I know that in my next life I'll get born. You know, I mean, I'm assured of like starting, you know, from point number five, you know, 10%, 20%. So that's it. This, you know, I just can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. So, but, you know, Prabhupada didn't want us to do that. He wants us to keep striving for perfection. Why not in this lifetime, he said. But that means that we have to always be moving forward. So that brings up one other idea, and then we have to quit because it's almost 9 o'clock. And this is the idea of entrainment. I looked up this word in my old dictionary. I didn't find it, so I was disappointed. But in my new dictionary, I found it. So the word entraining, this is actually exactly what we're doing. And train means to, just what Dhruva did, you know? Dhruva was just doing his breathing, and he was so powerful, he was in training, the universal breathing, and all of the demigods got upset, they could hardly breathe, right? Or, you know, Prabhupada said, okay, you know, I know what I'm dealing with here, trying to wash coals. You just hang on to my dhoti, I'll take you back. In other words, if we can just stay, you know, dedicated and sincere, then we can get the mercy and get the empowerment. So entrainment means, in this instance, you say a song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yesterday we sang this song. And it was, you know, when I at home, I'm seeing Goloka Vrindavan, you know, and all of these different things. And I say, well, you know, I don't actually see that. I can't really sing this song because that's not, I don't feel that way. He's saying, you know, but that's the whole idea, is that just by chanting it, just by hearing it, just by meditating on what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is feeling, you can also entrain your consciousness to that point. And that's why, like, I love these verses, like this Mulo Kanta Vidhayani verse. This is one of thousands of verses. The Goswamis, you know, so many prayers in the Bhagavatam. Like we say this prayer, and then we'll end here. Kunti's prayers, okay? And she says, you know, fabulous pure devotee. I'm not a fabulous pure devotee. Can I also say these prayers of Kunti? Yes, that's what they're for. So she says, Tvayme nandi vishayam matir madupate sakrit ratamun bhatada dha gange baugamadanvati. So what she's saying there, I'll give my little poem. O Madhava, please ever fill my mind with thoughts of thee, not any other kind. As Ganges torrent flows into the sea, let all my love flow constantly to thee. You see? So that's Kunti praying. But now I'm just repeating the prayer. So the consciousness, am now thinking about and getting into the mood because of the Sanskrit and the singing, you can add music, of the mood of Kunti. And so the idea is now affecting me. I'm entraining myself with her mood. This is the prayers of Prahlad. Prabhupada wants us to chant them and all these different, they're for chanting. The idea is that, and the same thing is for the Hare Krishna mantra. You begin chanting, your mind is all over the place. Have you ever seen, you know, a new person sit down and chant, here's some beads, try to chant, you know? And you really, you know, we see it all the time in San Diego. So, you know, come on, you come at 4:15 or 5:15 and chant. Okay, Cam. Yeah, I'd like to try this yoga that you're doing. So they chant and chant, you know, before long the body's given a problem, you know, and the mind is all over the place, you know, and they can never chant more than about half an hour max, you know. Then something, if you're wise, you give them a book because then they can read, you know. But there's no way because the mind is too strong. But if you work on it, you work on the mind, then after some time, it's not so hard, you can chant. 8, 10, 12, 16 rounds. Because there's something there. Well, what happened? It's not that you were able to forcibly, you know, get the nectar of the holy name. It's just that Krishna showed you mercy and allowed your mind to then become peaceful and attracted by that. So we're in training all the time. We're coming before the deities. You're not pure devotees. Your mind may be, but the deities are so beautiful today. You know, Krishna's attracting you. We all feel attracted, you know. So this is, you know, that's why I always recommend, you know, pick out some favorite prayers, write your own prayers. But, you know, become before the deities. Pray for that. I don't have any inspiration to write prayers, then pray for that. Pray for the inspiration to write prayers. Pray for the ability to focus on the holy name, you know. And Krishna will respond to that. Okay, we got to end. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, but thank you very much.
Can I ask you more?
Oh, yeah. I need all my attention. Okay, yeah.
I spent a lot of time.